Hare Krishna. Today, we're just going to give a few comments on this article that I put up on our articles, which is a article from BBC. And the question is, could a robot be conscious? It's written by a Professor Barry Smith, who's head of the Institute of Philosophy. And, well, they raised the question, can a robot be conscious? Can, in the future, scientists create conscious robots? In principle, can a robot be conscious at all? And the professor certainly leaves open the avenue for such a thing taking place, and he starts off by examining actually what is consciousness and raises what's of interest to us, the concept of the soul, citing the French philosopher Descartes, who was a strict dualist, and he postulated that consciousness can't be a product of matter. It has to be a product of something else, which is either the soul or generally the mind is how it's conceived of, and that this mind, being not material and having nothing to do with material elements, therefore being not influenced by it, is what the consciousness is. And of course the professor raises a philosophical problem, which is lies at the crux of the issue of this strict dualistic approach of philosophers, that if the mind or the soul is a completely transcendental thing, and it's completely transcendental to the body, then how is it possible for it to interact with the body? It can't possibly be interacting with the body and at the same time maintain its complete transcendental nature. So the conclusion then becomes that no, the source of consciousness can't be something that's transcendental, can't be something that's beyond the matter. It has to be immanent. It has to be something that comes as a result of some kind of organic interaction. And if that's the case, then it can also be reproduced by a in a robot that could be reproduced by a scientist. Now, of course, this this argument in itself is not really a very good argument, because it just says that because I can't give you an answer as to how the soul could interact or the mind could interact with a material body, therefore consciousness must come from body. That doesn't give you a positive approach. It's just in 1880, well, if it's not like this, then it must be like that. But that's not the only alternative that must be like that. And this is the point that I really want to highlight in this philosophical approach. And it's something that doesn't just refer to philosophy, but it refers to all scientific approach to observing the world that we live in, from the body to the universe itself, and astronomy or astrology, is that you're not going to be able to explain anything, and neither can you explain what this is called the mind-body problem, without accepting the fact that there is a supreme controller, that there's a controller who controls both of these things, both the soul as well as the body, and can act as the bridge or the interface between the two. Now, just from a purely philosophical point of view, in the way that Srila Prabhupada introduces or in his introduction to the Bhagavad Gita, he said, well, at least theoretically accept that Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. So this is a very plausible and reasonable argument. You, meaning scientists, have got a missing link in terms of so many in terms of so many of these major points, whether it be creation or evolution or how does consciousness and the material body interact. They're missing something. So why not accept the fact that there is a transcendental being who has control over both? Is that a solution that logically at least solves your problem? Even if you don't believe in God, but is it something that logically works? And of course it does. It logically works. The idea that, as the Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Upadishtanam antascha bhakta bhakta paramaheshvara paramatmati chapyukto dehismin purushapara, that within this body there's an overseer, there's a permitter, there's a supreme being who sees everything, who sees the desires of the soul, which is the seat of consciousness, who sees the is aware of what the living entity is conscious of and how he wants to react to that which he's conscious of, and then either gives him the permission, and if he gives him the permission, then facilitates that to happen, because he's controlling the body. He's controlling not only one body, but all bodies. Of course, people say, well, that's incredible, that's fantastic, that's just too much that one living entity can know what's in everybody's mind, everyone's body. And it is fantastic. But then, just the other day I was reading about some computer that they had that was making, I don't know how many thousand trillion decisions per second. That's pretty fantastic. And if you would have told people that 100 years ago, that such a thing would happen, most everyone would have said, well, that's not possible. So things are possible, or things are fantastic, and the impossible becomes possible even from this material aspect. So why not it be possible that that's the way it happens? Because you don't have any other alternative. You don't have any argument. You don't have any real consistent argument for how creation takes place. You don't have any real consistent argument as to how how and why living entities evolve from one species to another. You don't have any real argument for what is the bridge between consciousness, which no one has yet created from any combination of organic or inorganic substances, and the material body. How is it taking place? And if we accept it, yes, there is actually control, there may be this possibility, then at least hypothetically we've got a solution. And then the question is, well, all right, prove it. How do you prove it? How do you prove that such a transcendental being exists? Well, yogis do it. They see that supreme source of that source of supreme consciousness, that supreme controller, by performing an experiment. They perform yogic experiments, and that's what Ashtanga Yoga is about, that ultimately you can see the super soul within the heart. Shukadeva Goswami describes the process for that. So are scientists really serious about doing that? Are they really willing to perform that type of scientific experiment? Sometimes they go on and they perform experiments that goes on for decades and decades. Why not invest in such an experiment and actually come face to face with the super soul? It's also possible. So, and if you don't do that, if you don't perform that experiment, then what have you got? Then you've just got this huge, big leap of faith in which scientists base all of these major issues on, like creation and so on, and the source of consciousness. It's denying that there's no possible connection between the two, and therefore making this leap of faith that therefore it must come from matter. Matter must be the source of everything. And ultimately they become embarrassed, because they may say that matter is the source of everything, but they can't create consciousness from matter. They may say that matter is the source of everything and that life originated from matter, but as Prabhupada says, they can't even create a mosquito. So they remain really humiliated and embarrassed. And they remain, unfortunately, cheating others and cheat themselves. So interesting. And it's something that, of course, not only scientists, but even we see that there are yogis and gyanis and religionists who, in that sense, accept even the existence of the soul, but deny the existence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore, their concept of spirituality becomes very, very restricted. For instance, we even see in Christianity where the concept of God as being a person is not a personal concept. And therefore, their concept of really what the soul is, they can't actually distinguish it from the body. They have to accept that there is a unity. They describe that in their theology, that the soul and the body are part of the complete whole of the self. And that's wrong, because once again, they haven't actually properly defined what is actually the personality of Godhead, and properly what is therefore his role and how he functions. And without understanding the Supreme Lord, you can't understand anything else. Without the sun rising, you can't see anything clearly. At best, you're going to see things in shadow. So, Krishna Surya Sama, only when people actually understand God's real personal nature are they going to be able to understand science, religion, and life, and all of the different aspects of life in proper perspective.